Today's daf from the Sechet Benachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tzadik Gimel. And we're holding on the third line at the two dots. And we're right at HaYoresh Somech. So the Mishnah said that actually, if someone had set aside a korban that was chayav in the Sochim, the Yoresh of that person, if he dies, does the smicha on that korban, because it's considered to actually be even korban. No, it's the equivalent of his own personal korban. And he's the one that pays for the nesachim, he does smicha, and he does tmura. Toni Rav Chananya kameda Rava. And here we have a strange braita that Rav Chananya said in front of Rava that a yoresh eino samech, and a yoresh eino meimir, which of course is exactly the opposite of what it says beferish in the Mishnah. And Rava asks him, well, excuse me, sir, but how do you understand the Mishnah? V'anantnan ha-yoresh someich, u'mevi et nisachav, u'meimer. So all three things that require the ownership are what it is that, according to our Mishnah, the yoresh does. That includes the nisachim. It includes the one who's able to create a tmura, not allowed to, but he's able to. And he's the one that does the smicha. So it says that Farish in the Mishnah, Ayurish Somech, Umeviat Nisachav, Umeimir, Omar Leisur, Reb Chananya said to Rava, I don't know, so should I just, like, restructure this bright end? From now on, I should say it over in the other way, and I should be Mapichit, I should do it in the reverse? Omar Leisur, so Rava said to him, no, I challenged you, but I can help you understand how to use this bright end. Actually, your braita is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Matnitin mani Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Tanya. Yoresh somech yoresh meimir. And Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, yoresh eino somech and yoresh eino meimir. Okay, so clearly we have a machlokas tanoim about this issue. Now, let's try to figure out, so what's behind this machlokas? My time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So remember that we were Doresh yesterday, the korbanos that appeared in the parsha of Smicha, where we had every single time that the Shalomim was mentioned of every different types. We had the Bakar, and we had the Keves, and we had the Ayo. And we had the goats. So the idea over there was each one mentioned Smicha separately, and each one mentioned Im X korbano. So we darshan those three korbanos, and it says in the pasuk one of those korbanos, he darshan's korbano, the low korban aviv, which of course is going to create a problem because he's using up one of our favorite korbanos to say it's not his father's, and that the yorish is not considered to be the equivalent of a full owner. And because of that, because it says that not to do smicha, from there he gets the idea also that you're not going to be able to do the tumura, because he's yolif tchilas hegdesh, misof hegdesh. And basically, what he does, he understands that the tchilas hegdesh means the chalot of hegdesh. The chalot of hegdesh would be tumura, and that would be called the first step towards getting something kaddish. The sof hegdesh would be smicha, because smicha is the last thing that you do right before shchita. So it's the last step in what it is that you're doing as an owner, being magdish or korban. So since it says that the sof hegdesh, that is the smicha, is korbanov v'lo korban aviv, so I learn out from there that the tchilas hegdesh, which is the actual making it hegdesh through an act of tmura, is also not going to be done. Just like the sof hegdesh, yoresh eno somech, ach tilat hegdesh, yoresh eno meimir. So that was the Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now, according to the Rabbanan say, no, that's the last thing that you would want to learn out from korbano. I'll tell you why. Let's start, actually, from tilas hegdesh. Let's start from the tmura. You'll notice that in the parsha of tmura it says, the ima hamer yamir. Now, what is that double lashon? Hamer yamir. So that double lashon comes to include the yoresh. And it tells us that a child or any other heir that is now the one that is bringing this korban, he is the one that is able to do the tmura. And therefore, we say, given that that's true, then Yolif Sof Hekdesh B'Tchilat Hekdesh. If he's able to do the Temura, then he is able to do the last stage of what it is that the person is bringing a carbon that's before the Shechita, and that is the Smicha. So just like Tchilas Hekdesh, that is to say the Temura, Yoresh is Meimir, Av Sof Hekdesh, that is to say the Smicha, Yoresh is Somech. And what do the Karbano, what do the Rabbanan do with Rabbi Yehuda's Pasuk Karbano? Well, we learned that already. We learned that yesterday. They learned Karbano means Karbano, the low Karban Akum. Karbano, the low Karban Chavero. Karbano, remember that these were the three Karbanos. Karbano, Lorabot, Kobale, Karban Mesbicha, that if you've got more than one person, you've got 5 people, 10 people that have gotten together and they've purchased the Karban together, they all do the Smicha. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the need for those Limudim? Well, he doesn't hold of them. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that every single person that is a pshutef in a karban needs to do a smicha. So obviously he doesn't learn the pasuk to tell me that they do. It's not his shita. And therefore he uses that karbano to tell me karbano velo karban aviv. And then that is able to tell him that the tchilas kedusha, which is the temura, is also not done by the Yoresh.
Rabbi, shouldn't the Yoresh be a Korban copy of his father?
No, gosh. You know, I have now a new, I haven't used it yet, but let's see if it works.
No, Rabbi, don't shoot him. He'll turn to Korban.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. He's got a Talmud here. The Inami Yisrael. Now, we could look at it a different way. We could say that actually Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Korbano, Korbano and a riboy of Kobali Korban. Then what would he do with the need for the other limud? It's because he's got an extra Korbano. Because he says that instead of using one Korbano for Korbano velo Korban Akel and one for Korbano velo Korban Chavero, it's basically the same idea. And therefore, if it's Karbano, it excludes both. He can't do someone else's, not his chaver, not a goy. All of that is michad kronavka. It's obviously, we don't need the pasuk to tell me that the goy himself doesn't do the actual smicha, because it says the beryl b'nei Yisrael. So that's not the question at all. In which case, he's got 2 psukim left over. One of those psukim he can use for Karban Ovel or Karban Aviv, and then he could still use the other one to be a ribui for the rabot kol ba'le korban, Lismicha, and everything works out just fine. But what about Hamer Yamir? What does he do with the pasuk in Temura from which the Rabbanan actually learned that the Yorish is Meimir? So Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Hamer Yamir, my Bavidlai, what does he do with that? He says, I need an extra ribui to tell me that a woman can be Meimir. Because since Lomaisa, the Tanya, as the Braita says, the Fisher Kolan Yankulo in a Medaber Elabalash and Sachar. Throughout the entire Parsha of Temura, we only use the masculine gender of all of the verbs in this entire Sugya. Now, I mean, that's very common, isn't it? So Tosu says it's true. It is very common. But the thing is that since Temura has very extreme limits. So, for instance, if you've got 2 partners, so they can't be Meimer. And if there's a din, if it's a tzibur, they can't be Meimer. So if that's true, I might have thought that the Torah needs to actually let me know if it means to expand the envelope a little bit on the Temura to include also more than what is just Beferish in the Parsha, it would have to say so. It was one of the examples. And therefore, since the entire Parsha only speaks Peloshen Zachar, I would think that here the Isha is not included, just like Shutvim are not included. So therefore, he needs it, the Rabot et Aisha, the Fishikola, and Yankulo, and Medaber Peloshen Zachar. So why is it? Where do we get the idea from? Maso Fini, the Rabot et Aisha. Where actually do we get that from? Talmud Lomar, Mer Yamir, and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan agree that actually we do need a special limud in this particular case to include a woman, but they have that additional limud. They learned that from the word ve'im hamer yamir. So what's the ve'im? What's that extra and? You say im hamer yamir. So the ve'im comes to be inclusive of what? Of an isha. So Rabbanan darshu mi ve'im, and Rabbi Yehuda, which we often find, ve'im lo darish, which brings us to a special moment. Although our capitan is busy right now enforcing blockades all across the globe, nonetheless, he'll take off a moment and give us a Mishnah. So now the question is, who performs smicha? Everyone except for, that's quite a long list, everyone except for a cheresh, a shaita, and a katan, of course, in general, cannot do anything that was part of an avoda because they don't have that. So we'll go through the logic of each one of these things. And surprisingly, Suma, someone who's blind, a Novik Akavim, an Eved, someone who's only a Shliach of the owner, but he's not the owner, an Isha, because it's B'nai Yisrael, as we'll see. But you should know that Smicha itself, even if it isn't done, is not going to be my active Karban. It's called Shiore Mitzvah. It's just like the last pieces of a mitzvah of bringing the Karban. And without it, it's not as if the carbon is no good. The carbon would still be good. And how do we do that, Smicha? We do it with both hands, al harosh b'shtei yadayim. So you do the Smicha with both of your hands on the head of the animal. And b'mokam shesomchim shochatim, the place where you did the Smicha, you do not move the animal away from that place. You do the shchita in that same location. And take after smicha shchita. There's no time to be wasted between the act of the smicha and the follow-up with the shchita. So let's first go through in the Gemara why, in fact, all of these individuals are excluded. So, I mean, obviously, I understand chereshot v'katan. I mean, that's a general rule that someone who doesn't have das is not included in the dinim of the Torah that require involvement in a mitzvah. So that's because of la b'nei de'aninu. And over Kechavim, I understand that. I know how to read, and it opens up the whole parsha of Smicha with Abel B'nai Yisrael, which tells us that Davka B'nai Yisrael are Somchim and not Ein of the Kechavim Somchim. But where does the idea that someone who's blind, I mean, like, since when would the fact that he's a Suma make it him not be able to do an act of Smicha? Rav Chistev, Rav Yitzhar, Bar Avedimi, Chad Omar, we learn out smicha from the Zikne Ha'eda, where we do have a smicha with Zikne Ha'eda. Remember that we just learned yesterday, and that is what? Par Helam Dover Shal Tzibur. That's the Par Haba Al Kol HaMitzvot. And we said that in that case, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, that the Zikinim are all of the Zikinim that were in the Bezdin, and that made the error of the Horah. They are samech on the par helam davar shel tzibur. And since we know that there cannot be a suma included in the actual Sanhedrin, and that the Gemara learned out in Sanhedrin, that there has to be kulam, have to be shleimim in every way. So because of that, if a suma cannot be in the Sanhedrin, then it cannot be included in this model of smicha that is given to us with the par halam davar shel tzibur. So that's where one, either of Chista or of Yitzchak bar Avitimi, learns it, and the other learns it from smicha, smicha, mi olat ri'iya. So remember, it's true that it doesn't really say the din of smicha specifically in olat ri'iya, but we know that it is one of the arlas that we learned before that requires smicha. And so if someone who is blind, as a matter of fact, even if he's only suma ba'achas bi'enav, remember, we learn out that he's not chayv in aliyah l'regel because of the fact that the Torah says, le'ra'ot, kishem shaba lirot kach ba le'ra'ot, or Tosfos says, kishem shaba le'ra'ot kach ba lirot. In any event, it means that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu kiveyocho, obviously, is a total re'iyah, the individual comes to the Beis HaMikdash has to himself be capable of a total re'iyah. And if that's the case, there's immense implications to that, if you think about it. But if that's the case, then if he's excluded from the chiv of Eilas Re'iya, so therefore it means that he's not included in that din of smicha, because that is another model that we have for smicha. So chadomen asher smicha smicha mi Eilas Re'iya. Ulaman diomar mi Eilas Re'iya. What was wrong with using the direct limud where the din of smicha actually appears, which is the case of the Ziknei Ha'eda by the Par Helam Dover? So what's wrong with that limud? Why didn't he want to learn it from there? It seems like it makes sense. It's because he says it doesn't really make that much sense. Because, I mean, we're learning over here the halacha of the smicha of a yachid. So danin yachid mi yachid, ve'in danin yachid mi tzibur. If we're going to be learning the halachas out from each other, it makes sense that they should be learned from a model which is similar to the one that we're learning from. Okay, and if you learn in fact, that makes sense. So if you learn from Ziknei Ha'eda, why did he have against learning it from Eilas Re'iya? Well, that is obvious. I mean, if we're going to use a model, we don't use a model that the din that we're learning out of doesn't apply in the model itself. It just applies to the model, but it's not in the model. So if I have a chance to learn it out from the case of the Ziknei Ha'eda by Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, where the Torah says beferish the samchu Ziknei Ha'eda, then I prefer to learn it from there than to learn it out of a case where I know that there is smicha but doesn't say smicha. So therefore, dana mina dichtibe smicha begufe. When it comes to Eilas Re'iya, the din of smicha doesn't apply directly in the pasuk of Eilas Re'iya. We only know that there is smicha in that case because we learn out the Eilas Re'iya from all of the Eilas, and it's not going to be different than the other Eilas. And that makes sense because there was a braita that Tana said in front of Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, that when the Potsik says, Vayakrevet ha'ola, Vayaaseh kamishpat, so this is, again, in the Psukim of the Miluim that we just learned. So at the end of the Miluim, it says that then Aaron brings the Ola and he does a kamishpat. What does kamishpat mean? I mean, where does it say over here in the Miluim, the dinim of mishpat? It doesn't. When it says kimishpat, it means kimishpat olat nidava, which teaches us that the olat chova also requires the smicha, and therefore we assume the same thing would be true over here. That becomes the marker for general chiyuvim of even Eilas Re'iya, but it doesn't say it beferish. Okay, let's take a look at the next cases in the Mishnah. An evet. Evet cannot do smicha. A shliach cannot do smicha. And a woman cannot do smicha. Now, why is that? So, Tana Rabbana, it says in each one of the cases, remember that we had learned the smicha from three separate additional korbano, right? Each one of those korbano was one of the types of the shlomim, and each one of those korbano was followed with the words, v'samach et yado. So, it first introduce the korbano, im zevach ex korbano, so then v'samachet yado. Now yado is the not yad, but yado. So that word of yado means a particular yad, and it's coming to be memayet another yad. So this means yado, but not yad avdo. And then the next one, which again, korbano, yado. The next one is yado, v'lo yad av ashlucho. And the next one was yado, Yado velo yad ishto. Well, why do I need every single one of these? I mean, if it just says yado, doesn't that mean yado and not someone else's? Why would I need three separate yados to tell me the same thing? No, I would certainly not have assumed that they're all the same. Because let me tell you, if the Torah would have only written one yado, ikas rach one echad, avamina lemute evet. But it's okay, look, let's use that one to be mamayat, the least likely customer for smicha. That would be an evet because he's not chayiv in all of the mitzvahs in general. And because of that, so then the Torah is being memayat something. It's probably memayat this guy that is being cut out of all of the mitzvahs aseh shazman gorma. Mashenken, for me to make a shliach of another bar chiyuva, what's wrong with that? So I would think a shliach, he's a regular bar mitzvah, so he would be included because after all, shlucho shel adam kamoto, no? So maybe he could be samech, as good as I am. And if I would have two yadots to be mamayit both of these cases, I would say, okay, I understand, I can't throw in just anybody, and my eved's not good enough, my shliach's not good enough, but for heaven's sakes, my wife is, after all, ishto kegufo. So that's mamish. That's even more than kamoto. Shlucha shel adam is only kamoto. But the ishto shel adam is kegufo. So that's the same thing as my doing a mitzvah shebegufo. So since kegufo damia, maybe she could be so mechet for me. Therefore, the kegufya dama. Therefore, tzricha, I need that third yato to tell me, even maximally, the case of the ishto kegufo is also not included. Then the Mishnah continues on to say, smicha is only shiore mitzvah, and it will not be ma'akim to korban. Tana rabbana. The Torah says, v'samach, followed by v'samach yado al rosh ha'ola v'nirtza lo l'chaper olav. Now that sure sounds to me like only if he's samach yado, then the ola is v'nirtza lo l'chaper olav. But if he's not samach yado, then the ola is not nirtza lo l'chaper olav. So wouldn't that mean that it's ma'akim? So here's how the Braita puts it. The pasuk makes it sound, v'samach v'nirtza, it makes it sound as if the smicha is the essential ingredient of the karba. Now, we know that it can't mean that. V'chi smicha mechaperet, v'halo ein kapara ela b'dam. The Torah has made it very clear that the nature of the kapara of a karba is dependent on the dam. Nothing to do with things that you'll do stam to the body of the karba. It says, ki adam hu benefesh yechaper. So how could I possibly think that, you know, tweedly dee and tweedly dumb? I mean, that's not going to make the kapara. What's going to make the kapara is dafka, what the Torah said. So why does it use this word of v'samach hayado and then ki ilu v'nirtzlo l'chaper ala? That's lomar lecha. That's to tell you that there is a concept of ritzui. There's a concept of a korban not only doing the formality of the idea of kapara, which we spoke about in Hilchas Tshuva, how the Rambam defines so beautifully, goes through the sugya of the different levels of kapara. Kapara, in a sense, is a technicality. But the question of the relationship that's restored by that kapara, I mean, that's a very important ingredient. And as a matter of fact, you will note that when it comes to chiyuvim, where there's a chiyuv of chatas, there's oftentimes that the Torah says, bring an oila also. So like the Gemara made an example, the Moshe Lamad Avar Deyma, first you send in the lawyers, you hand in all the, you handle all of the technicalities, and then you send a plant in, you know, to some flowers and your maratza. Okay. The same thing is true here. This is the closing event of the Vesamach Vinirza. It's what I want to see, is that you're putting yourself into it, and that you're putting your guts into it, and you're putting your full weight on it, and it includes your vidui and your tefillahs and so on. So therefore, it's as if that is central to the kapara. But obviously, the Torah makes it clear, technically speaking, it's not. So it's to teach you that im asa alus micha shiore mitzvah, you treat it like it's just leftovers, you don't do it. It's as if there was no venirza. But obviously, technically speaking, you were mechaper. We find the same thing by tnufa. We find the same idea. Because look, it says over here that the same words, the same concept, imdalhu, this was the gabi, the mitzora that's bringing bedalus. This week's parasha that we're going to be learning. Imdalhu ve'en yado maseget, v'lakach keves echad asham l'tnufa l'chaper. L'tnufa l'chaper. I mean, since when is tnufa mechaper? V'chi tnufa mechaper et v'lo ein kapara ela b'dam. Same question that we asked. B'no ge'a smicha. It says b'feresh adam, ki adam u b'nefesh echaper. Ela lomar lecha, she'im asa'a l'tnufa she'yore mitzvah. You treated it like garbage, and you did not do your tnufa. You should know that the Torah is very distant from you. But of course, in terms of the technicalities of kapara, you want to go through the technicalities, fine. So you won't get your head handed to you. In terms of the whole concept of the ritzui, you're in trouble. Okay, next thing the Mishnah said is, you have to put your two hands on the head. Now, the head, what exactly is included in the head? I mean, it's like, does that include like the sides of the head, the back of the head? So turn it up on it. The Torah says, Yado al Rosh. It says, each time, both in the Eilam, the Shlomim, the Chatas, we're Nogea, Smicha, every time we find that word, we find Rosho, the Samaf Yado al Rosho. So if that's the case, this is interesting because until now, when we were referring to the Yado, we referred to Karbano, we were talking only about Shlomim. Over here, Rashi Bedavka says, this is talking about the Rosho that we find by Erla Shlomim and Chatas, not the psukim we've been darshaning until now, which were all in the parsha of Shlomim and Smicha. I don't know why that would be true. But in any event, we darshan that it's Rosh, that means Lo Yadol HaTzavar. The other one, it says again, Yadol HaRosh, that's Lo Yadol HaGabayim. And the third one is Yadol HaRosh, Lo Yadol HaChazeh, which seems very strange. Okay, so let's go through each one of these. So the hand is put on the head, but not on the neck. The hand is put on the head and not on the back. I mean, isn't that sort of obvious? And the hand is put on the head and not on the breast. I mean, that's crazy. Why would I think that would be enough? So why do we call any lamali? Why would I need three separate psukim if it tells me the head and it can't be even on the neck? It certainly can't be on the breast or on the back, can it? Says Gemara, no, actually, it could. Because think about this. Let's say the Torah would have said the head. So it said, okay, now remember that an animal's head is connected to its neck very differently than a human head. A human head slopes directly back along the back of the head. The beginning of the spine is directly along the same path as the goes directly from there to the back and so on. But an animal, the neck actually is sort of like down at the bottom under the head, slopes back up again to the back. So when an animal is walking, its head is not connected directly to its back on the same line, right? So, but the back is on the exact same line as the head is. So you might think, okay, the neck, I understand, that slopes downward and then back up again. That's not part of the head. But then the continued spine is the same as the human spine that continues directly on from the head, an extension of the brain, and it just goes along from the output of the brain through the spinal cord. So maybe that would be included. So I would have said, look, if it only said one, I understand that the neck is not on the same line. So you can't take a horizontal line and go directly from a head to a neck on an animal to lo koi bahari rosho. Avogabo, the gav, is on a straight plane with the head in an animal. To koi lahari rosh, emalo. So there maybe there wouldn't be a problem. When it says lo, wouldn't be a problem to do smicha there. That's why I need the second pasuk, even the back. Yeah, but how in the world does the breast come to be included? Aminashman Bahani Tartit. I would say yes. You know why? Because those are not significant parts of the animal the way the breast is, because the breast is included in the din of Tnufa. So that gives it a special consideration of chashivas to be central to the carbon and as a critical component. Maybe I could actually do smicha on that critical component. So yashmin and hani tarte, I would say, all right, that's because it doesn't have the chashivas of tenufa, mashenke the chaze, which is part of the head in terms of the tenufa. Maybe I would say that's not excluded. Emolo. Therefore, I need all three. Okay, now, the question is, what's included? What about on the side of the head? Is the side of the head included? Is that the head, or does the head mean literally the area directly above the skull? So, ma, tashma, Netanya, the Braita says, Beferish Abba, Biro'o, Berabbi Eliezer, Ben Yaakov, Omer, that the Yodai has to be Bedavka, Yodo al Rosho, and Lo Yodo al Hatzidadim. So basically, we're being medayeket. I'm assuming that Abba Biroa was a neighbor of yours, Gavi, back in Birya. So, all right. So then, if that's the case, then we certainly pay a lot of attention to his limud, and it's yado ala rosh velo yado ala tzadik. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, suppose you've got your hand wrapped in a handkerchief or something. Is there a din of a chatzitza when it comes to smicha? So a matlit, you lean on a handkerchief. Ma'u shetachutz. Tashma. It says beferish in the braita, ubilvad shalotei davar chotzeitz, inola veinaz evach. So smicha indeed has to be directly skin on skin, so to speak. Ubishtei yadayim. And you need both of your hands. How do we know you know both of your hands? Well, we just talked about that, didn't we? When we were talking about the whole idea of Aaron, it says, V'samach Aaron et shtei yadav. It says, Feresh shtei yadav. Now, problem is, of course, that the Aaron, remember, was a machlokas rebbe and rebbe Shimon, whether that was a standard smicha or that was a special din of smicha that had to do not with the korban, but rather with the idea of the kapara. So, can we learn out from it? Yes. Why? Because what we're trying to learn out is the word yadav. The word yadav is written without a yud. Yud, dalet, vav. Now, yud, dalet, vav can be pronounced yado, right? It doesn't necessarily say yadav. And it says over here, shtei yadav. So, the ktav is yado. And the together with it, it says shtei. So then that means that the letters Yud Dalet Vav with a shtei is a b'nei av to teach me that kol makom shenemar yado. This is coming gufa to tell me that wherever it says just yado, which is exactly what it says in all the chiyuvim of the smicha that we've seen here, oila, shalomim, and chatas, and all of the three cases of shalomim, every one of them is written yado, and therefore we learn out the language. Yado means yadav unless otherwise defined. So, achiv rot lecha katuv echad, if it doesn't say yad echas, it means two yadayim. Now, Rabbi Elazar went ahead, this he heard from Reish Lakish, right? He went ahead into the Beis HaMedrash when they were learning this sugya, and he said this over. And he didn't say it in the name of Reish Lakish. He said, yeah, you see, it's a shtei yadav, and he presented it as an insight into the language without attributing it to Reish Lakish. Now, Reish Lakish doesn't like that kind of shtick, and Reish Lakish is pretty rough. So Reish Lakish figured, okay, we'll teach this guy a lesson. Very good. So, Shama Reish Lakish v'ikpid. So how's he going to teach him a lesson? He's going to show him that he's an idiot, that this is not true. Okay, so how's he going to show him that it's not true here? He's relying on him that it is true. Now Reish Lakish is going to prove to him that it's not true. So he goes to the Beis HaMedrash, and he asks Rabbi Elazar, really? You honestly believe such a crazy thing? That every place it says yado, it means both hands? Tartanino, that's nuts. How can anybody believe that? So if that's true, how do you explain the fact that there's so many places that the Torah insists on writing Yadav with a full Yud? And Reish Lakish brings 24 different examples where he says Yadav. He says to him, you're crazy. Look at this. What about this? And then there's that. And then there's this other one. And then, oh, my gosh. Okay. So on the spot, he shows him 24 ways that he's crazy. He's got nothing to say. One of them is Yadav to Vienna, Yadav Ravlo, Sikel at Yadav in the Brocha, Ephraimum and Asha. How come it doesn't say Yado if you're telling me the word Yado always means Yadav? So Rabbi Elazar, gosh, I don't know. Okay. All right, little boy. Now let me tell you something, okay? Labasa the Nach Daita, after he cooled off, he said, so I'll explain to you. Why didn't you tell me the obvious answer? You should have said, I meant only Yadav in the context of Smicha, because that was only the Raya I was bringing, was only in the context of Smicha. So isn't it obvious that that's what you should have said? Rabbi Elazar said to him, no, because I thought of that. But then I realized that then you were going to ask me that it says when Moshe Rabbeinu was somach yadav on Yehoshua, it also says yadav, vayismoch et yadav, Allah vayitzaveyu. So I figured I wasn't going to get away with that. So I didn't want any more bushes, so I figured I'll just shut up. So I shut up. What Reish Lakish says, I mean, what you should have told me is that we're only bringing a raya of smicha by a behema from the case of Aaron. We're not extending it to a general insight into the spelling of Yadav. Now, the last thing that we learned in the Mishnah was b'makom shesomachim shochatim, which teaches us that also take care of the smicha shlita. If this is two different things. Now, how is that two different things? I mean, obviously you can't move away from the place in which you did the smicha, because last I heard, having spoken to a very intelligent guy by the name of Einstein, it seems to take time to move. Now, if you're going to be moving away, then you're not going to be takeifing, are you? I mean, it's not going to be immediate. So if it has to be immediate, so then it has to be in the same place. So why are you telling me I got two brilliant insights? First of all, you can't move away. And secondly, it has to be done right away. I mean, that's the same thing. So what's the Mishnah trying to say? Oh, achikoma. B'makom shesomchim shochtim, the shechita has to take place in the same place where you did the shochtim, because tekef l'smicha shechita, because that is the din that it's tekef. Now, what we could do, and this I'm sure would make Richie very happy because he's been practicing, you know, for this Bli Neder and the whole thing, we could get to the end of the parak, although of course it would mean that Richie would be on extra pay today. You don't want extra pay, Rich? You'll take extra pay. Okay. So we could get to the end of the parak just to be happy, and to know that we have a Davar Shalom. It will not take us very much time. Would you like to go to the end of the parak, Rabbi Osai? Alrighty, then let's do it, which gives Richie two massive opportunities. Let's hear the first one, Rich. Whoa, wow. He's jumping out of his skin with excitement today. That's amazing. That's what we like to hear, Rich. Unbelievable. Chomer b'smicha mi b'tnufa, u b'tnufa mi b'smicha. So now we want to compare some of these dinim, the dinim of tnufa and the dinim of smicha, which basically we just spoke about in terms of the kal v'chomers that we were making, the relationship of the three things to the three mitzvahs. Well, tnufa and smicha, and those were the two things that we were also referring to in the concept of the Torah's ritzui and shiori mitzvah. So let's talk about the two of them together. Smicha, in a sense, is more chomer than tnufa is, and tnufa, in a different sense, is more chomer than smicha is. Because in terms of smicha, one person can do the smicha for a whole group. A tenufa. One person can do the tenufa for a whole group of chaverim. But that cannot be done. We'll see why in the Gemara. Ein echad somech l'chol achuvrim. You can't have one person do the smicha and every one of them has to do the smicha separately. That's the one of the korbanos. But in another sense, the tenufa is more chomer, because tenufa is a chiev in Karbanot HaYachid and on Karbanot HaTzibur, which is a little bit weird because isn't that the same? Oh, we'll see. B'chayim u'b'shchutim, and there is a chiyav, remember, we had on the Kivsei Atzeret, there's a tenufa chai and a tenufa shochut. So the mitzvah of tenufa occurs even on things that are already shochut. Well, I never heard about doing a smicha on a shechted animal, and it's bedavar sheyesh bo ruach hayim, ubedavar she'ein bo ruach hayim. Because look, I mean, we do tenufa on things that are, you know, things like the lachmei teda. I mean, those aren't organisms, living organisms. Ma she'ein kein besmicha. We don't have examples of that when it comes to smicha. So let's go through the limudim, which we already actually know. So it says in the Mishnah that one of the chaverim is not able to do a smicha for the others, and every single one has to do smicha, and that's a chumrah. And that's a chumrah over tenufa. Where do we know that from? Tana Rabbanan, we know the answer to that because we just learned it. Korbano is marbe kol balei korban l'smicha. Because otherwise, I wouldn't have said this. I would have said, look, it seems to me that it's a kal v'chomer that one can do it for the others. Because alo dinu, if tenufa, which is basically a chiyav of tenufa, both for shchutim and for the life things, therefore it's broader in terms of its chiyav than smicha is. Nonetheless, you are mimayedit bechovrim, and we do not do the tenufa with all of the chaverim. So then smicha, which does not appear ever benogea, something that is shachut, eno din, so for sure it shouldn't be have that hormone that should be chayah for everybody. That's why it says korbano l'rabot kol ba'alei korban for that smicha. Okay, so then once that's true, why don't we learn how to cover hormone in the opposite direction? Why don't we say, titrabet nufa bechovrin mikal v'chomer? Now we should make a kal v'chomer in the opposite direction. If smicha, which is not very broad, because you never do smicha on something that is already shachut, and nonetheless, you need to do smicha with every single partner in this karban, and it was nisrapta bechovrin, tenufa, which is so chomor that it even applies to things that are shchutina sometimes, eno din shenitrapta bechovrin, shouldn't it certainly be an extra chiyuv that every single member of the group that put their funds together to bring this korban should be part of the tenufa? Well, maybe it's a kal v'chomer, but it isn't possible. How do you expect to be mekayim your kal v'chomer? Mishum de lo efshe. Tell me, how am I going to do it? Min fukuna bahari adade? Should everybody put their hands on it together? And then you're going to have a chatzitza. Remember, you cannot have one hand on another hand. You have to have the hand directly in contact. If you got 100 people that are all shutafim in this, how exactly are they going to be able to do it together? It will be a chatzitza. Shall we do a tenufa and then pass it on to the next guy and have the next guy do the tenufa and so on? The Torah says tenufa, not tenufot. So you can only do one tenufa on a korban. You can't do different tenufot on a korban. So therefore, there's nothing much to do. And therefore, it's lo efsha. Anyway, okay, so this all adds up. But I got a problem over here. You seem to believe that it's a given that we never do smicha on something that is shachut. But is that really true? I mean, I'll tell you a Mishnah Beferish that says that we do a smicha on things that are not shachut. A Mishnah in Tamid. It says like this, that if a Kohen Gadol, remember, a Kohen Gadol can be makriv whenever he wants. So if a Kohen Gadol decides that he wants to be makriv, so then he just walks right up the kevesh. The sigan of the Kohen Gadol is on his right and walks with him. And when the Kohen Gadol gets tired, he gets halfway up the kevesh. Now it's been a long walk. The sigan actually supports him, holds onto his right arm and helps him go up. V'ha'aleu. And then the Kohen that's been bringing the various things to the kevesh will, he's the first Kohen. Remember, we've got those 13 Kohanim that are working on the tummy. So he hands him Harosh V'Haregel, which is the first thing. And the Kohen Gadol, now listen to this, the Kohen Gadol does smicha on the Rosh and the Regel. Huh? That means that there is shchita. It's smicha on shchuti. He does smicha on them, and then he throws them onto the Mizbeah. Now the next Kohen brings what he has, gives it to the first Kohen, and the next thing that was being carried up to the Kevesh was what? The Shtei Yadai. He gives them to that Kohen, who gives, that's the way at least the Mefarshim explained it, and who gives it to the Kohen Gadol. He does smicha again. and he throws them on the Mizbeach. And then the second coin goes away, and then the third comes along, and so on. The entire animal is given to him in this fashion, and each coin that gives him a piece, the coin gadol is somech aleihem, and then he's zorkam. And if he wants, he doesn't even have to do the heavy-duty work. He can only do the smich and let somebody else do the throwing. These are heavy pieces. So Bisman Shurotze, who's Somech, and then other people can do the Zrika. Now, what are you telling me? There's no Smicha. Omer Abaye, that is not Smicha. It only looks like Smicha. Look, I mean, we've seen this already, right? We were talking about Somach Haronich Teyadav, that's not Smicha, even though it is Smicha. The same thing is true over here. Hosa Mishum Kvodo de Kohen Gadol. It's an act simply of giving honor that the Kohen Gadol puts his massive influence and chashivas into the korban. But it's certainly, there's no concept really of smicha. Hadron aloch shtei midot with the ending with the Mishnah from the actual Tumit.
Bli neder.
Wow. Thank you, Sir Richard.